Luke 13. Matthew, Mark, then Luke. Luke 13 and verse number 1. There were present at that season some that told him, that is the Lord Jesus, of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or, those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? He answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone. This year also shall I so dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now over, please, in the chapter, a little further to verse number 23. Then said one unto him, same chapter, Luke 13, verse 23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not which ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. You yourselves rest out. They shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, they shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Behold, there are last that shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Verse number 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Luke 13 is a very interesting chapter for more reason than one. I think it is one of those chapters that keeps its subject right within the chapter itself. And I have simply written over this chapter what I would write over your experience tonight in this meeting, if not saved, and it's one word, opportunity. Opportunity. You notice that we're living in a world today when the word chance and luck and fate are kind of humanistic terms that our world uses today to describe people that get in on something or may miss it. But when we talk about God's salvation, we may use it, but we really don't mean it. About a chance to get saved. It's not a chance, friend. It is an opportunity. There's a vast difference between a chance and an opportunity. You know, I am told what the odds are of people winning the lottery, that their chances are such and such. That's chance. But when it comes to God's salvation, it isn't a chance that God has given you. It's an opportunity. That is, this is the difference. The opportunity is unlimited. It is to every person. There's no restriction. So we're not talking about chance tonight. We are talking about opportunity. But, you know, it has a very solemn side to it. It's this. I noticed 4 things about the opportunity in Luke 13. The first thing that I want you to notice, that when it comes to God's salvation, the opportunity for it is a lifetime opportunity. a lifetime. You can take that both sides. And it is only in this life that people get saved. That there is no one that gets saved or secures heaven after life. So it is a lifetime opportunity. But then the Lord Jesus spoke about a fig tree that a man had planted in his garden. And he told us that there were 3 years. He was giving it 3 years. Had given it to it. And there was no fruit. And there would be one more year. So with that lifetime opportunity is a limited opportunity. There's a line that's drawn. It's limited. But you know what these people did not discover? They'd heard him preach so much, and maybe like you in the meeting tonight, what they didn't realize, it was their last opportunity. They were not going to hear this again. They were almost in the language of another said, we will hear thee again on this matter. But they weren't. Maybe you're sitting in the gospel meeting and saying, boy, this just sounds so familiar. It's so routine. It's the same thing being said just by different men. Well, that might be true. And we're not arguing that. But let me speak tonight with authority from the Word of God that I could be looking into the face of someone and unknown to your heart. It is not only a lifetime opportunity and a limited opportunity. It is a last opportunity. Would that change how you would listen to this meeting tonight if you were to know it? Well, if you don't, you listen that way anyhow. Like, this is my last opportunity. Because the people who had the last opportunity, you know what it was? I hope this never happens with you. It was a lost opportunity. That's why he wept over the city so bitterly. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thee together? As a hen doth gather her brood under her wing, but he would not. Your house is now left unto you desolate. He saw down the road what they couldn't see. And it was a lost opportunity. There are souls, my friend, tonight in hell that had every intention, every plan of getting saved. I know for a fact there are people that sat in gospel meeting and wept about their sins. Never to be realized again. You see, the whole of the chapter is centered around people that really felt that other people had lost their opportunity. That other people didn't realize it was a last opportunity. They thought that what they were hearing was for other people. And that's how the chapter begins. They come to the Lord Jesus and they cite to him a couple of sad, tragic incidences. One particular, as where Pilate had come in and to a place of religious worship, and he had literally mingled the blood of the people with the sacrifices. It was terrible the way that they died. And they were sure these people, were they greater sinners than we are? Whatever opportunity it was lost, it was gone. Well, then he reminded them of the tower in Siloam that fell and slew 18. In other words, what he was really picking up, they were so taken up with the tragic way in which these people died. What they didn't realize that was the condition in which they died. You know how they died? Without Christ. Without a Savior. Without a moment when they accepted the one who was presenting himself as a Savior to them. But they were sure it was others' opportunity. You know how I know it was their opportunity? Because they were there. The key to the passage is this. They were present at that season. Doesn't that tell you something? Come on, we know enough about a season that doesn't go on forever. They were present at that season. It was a season of loving welcome. It was a season of opportunity. Oh, that they could have seized it. Oh, that they could have grasped it. But they missed it. Is it possible tonight in this gospel meeting? Is it possible that there is one soul here tonight that's going to miss what we're preaching? Miss it and wake up in hell and remember a time when you heard about an opportunity that you never made yours? Is that possible? Whenever I think of opportunities, I think of one time Mr. Orthog and I were having meetings in Toronto. 1991 in the wintertime, and there was a brother there that called me up on a Saturday morning. It was a wintry morning, it was snowy, and he wanted me to take his boys for a flight over the city. And I said, listen, Mike, I said, the plane will be covered with ice, and you've got to de-ice it to be fuel. And I started over all the reasons, and he said, no, I'll look after that. And he could afford to do it. And I was trying to get out of it because I really just wasn't into it that day. You know how it is? It wasn't. It was a cold, cold day, and I just didn't want to do it. But everything that I propped up to him, he seemed to buy off. But of course, you understand, his wife later told me it wasn't the little boys that really wanted to ride, it was the big boy. So he did. The plane, had it hauled into the hangar, had it the ice, had it filled with fuel. He said, what else do you need? And so, knowing that he was doing this while they were getting ready, I went in and I called up a little family. Not really a little family, it was a family of four boys. Their father couldn't afford any fuel for an airplane. Couldn't afford a de-ice. But these boys would love a ride. If this fellow's filling with fuel, the plane's all ready to go. As soon as I'm done this family, I'll give that family a ride. Called up their home. No answer. I thought they're grandma's. Called up grandma's house. She says, they're not home. Called an aunt's house. She says, they're not here. She says, I think they're down at the mall is where they are. I said, listen, whatever you do, just don't tell my father. Okay, so she said, that's what the aunt said. But I think grandma must have left some things out because the next day, on Lord's Day, I saw four boys. And boy, there were some tricky long faces. Nothing was said, but they realized they had missed something on Saturday they would have really enjoyed. I was coming back to Toronto for a week of ministry meetings in Egypt and Canaan. 50 miles out of Toronto, I thought of those boys. I'm going to be in Toronto in a few minutes. I called ahead, relayed the telephone number. I said, listen, you call up the Marcet family and tell them that they're at the Buttonville Airport. I'll give those boys a ride. What do you think they did? Headed for the mall? Went over to grandma's house? I can remember yet pulling into that terminal and there were four little faces pressed against the glass, waiting to ride. In other words, they were not going to miss it. And they didn't. Maybe that illustration is too simple. But I want to get something across to your heart tonight, friend, is this. That if you don't make up your mind that what they're preaching in that gospel meeting, I don't want to miss, you will miss it. As sure as you're sitting on that seat, you will miss it. These people missed it. I would love to tell you that the chapter concludes with them realizing that there was never repentance. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now repentance is not penance. Penance is you doing something to merit something or to pay off something. We're not talking about penance. Repentance is a change of mind and a change of heart. You say, well, what do I have to change my mind about? Everything. Everything, friend. Everything that you think about yourself has to be changed. And every thought that you have about God has to be changed. Because naturally speaking, our thoughts about ourselves are wrong. We don't like to think we're sinners. We don't like to think that we're unclean. The Bible says we are all of an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We don't like to think that. No, it's our human nature. We want to defend that. So nature does this. It takes sides with myself and my sin against God. It says, I'm not that bad. Others might be. I am not. These people thought that. But repentance brings you over to take sides with God's word and what he says against yourself. And you'll simply say this, whatever God says about me is true. However he describes me is right. I am ungodly. You say, but I went to church this morning. It doesn't matter where you went to church. None of my business, friend. What I'm interested in is going to heaven. It is absolutely none of my business or anybody else here where you went this morning, or even if you didn't go, sir. You know what our business is? To make absolutely sure when you leave this hall, you know where you're going. Heaven or hell. These people didn't want to face that. A lifetime opportunity. Think of it. They simply could have come and just admitted their guilt and their sin, which they were refusing to do, and accept the provision that he was offering to them. They said no. Oh no, they didn't plan dying without Christ. They didn't plan that. They were going to get it, but just not now. People come to our gospel meetings all the time, convinced that what they're hearing is right. Oh, they're going to get saved, but just not now. I have a man that's come to gospel meetings I have had in the East for 16 years. Still not saved. Oh, George says, Murphy, don't worry about me. I'm going to get saved.
I hope he does. I hope you do, friend. But I want to tell you, the opportunity is becoming very limited.
That's what the Lord Jesus now spoke about the fig tree. He said there was a man that planted a fig tree in his vineyard, and he had come 3 years seeking fruit on that fig tree, and he found none. What was the owner of the vineyard looking for from the fig tree? What he was looking for from the people. All he wanted was something that would justify his existence. All that he had wanted to see was something that would indicate there was fruit. What fruit he wanted?
He wanted repentance.
Oh, they were going to bring forth fruit. The nation knew that. The nation knew the dealings of God. They were going to bring forth fruit, you understand, but just not now.
A little later.
There's a caption in it was the Hartford Current that caught my attention. And the newspaper it wasn't really that big an article, but it was the title that caught my attention. Here's what it said. Shows up late, comes up short. Shows up late, comes up short. Clarence Jackson did not realize that he had in his possession the lottery ticket for $5.8 million. That ticket was advertised on the television, the newspapers, press releases, but the state lottery has a law for 1 year. And on 11:59, on the last day of the year of that draw, that ticket expires. And the winnings simply go back into the lottery. Whatever was going through Mr. Jackson's mind, or whatever he realized or didn't realize, I don't know, and I don't even like to talk about lottery tickets, except for the sake of the illustration. 3 days later, he came to the office, racing his way to the office. The ticket clenched in his hand with a death grip on it. Put it down on the counter. He says, sorry, said I. Sorry, he says. The officials were called in and they said, Mr. Jackson, we are sorry too. He started into a big barrage of how he's going to sue them. They said, you can go ahead. Here's the names of three men that have already tried it and lost. Showed up late, comes up short. Friend, we're so glad to tell you that door is open tonight. So glad to tell you that door is open. My artist friend did the best that he could to show you an open door. But I can't tell you tonight. Oh, my go in. Nor can I tell you tonight how firmly closed it will be for those that show up late, come up short. Mr. Jackson can go back and bury his face in his tears or his bed or whatever. Just a poor, hardworking man. All dreams of whatever was in that winning ticket were forever gone.
Showed up late. Comes up short. That happened to the whole nation.
God brought them to a moment at Kadesh Barnea. He says, here's the land. Here it is. I've driven out the enemy. Go into this land. Give us a little time to think it over.
You know, anybody that ever needed time to think over what God was offering them, you think it over. Anybody that ever needed time to think over what God was offering them never came up with the right decision.
Abraham, it says, he went out,
not knowing whither he went.
Whenever God offered anybody anything, it was then or never. My, there's Rebecca. What a lovely story. We'll even say in the background, listen, give us 10 days. I'm not a servant. Let me put it in language you'll understand.
If she doesn't go now, she'll never go. He was wise.
Wilt thou go with this man? She says, I will go. What about you, Dad? You ready to go?
If you come to this gospel meeting tonight to make sure that you don't show up late
and come up short? I would just, you know, you would think that when the Lord Jesus himself, the Prince of Preachers, is actually so graphically illustrating this to these people, they would realize, hey, this is us. He's speaking about us. And what he saw and they didn't see is just a few years down the road
and their blood would be splattered with the mud of the land as the city is burned.
They didn't see that.
And my friends, you don't see what's down the road for you.
You think of that one more year, they would just wake up and say, wait a minute, we don't want to miss this. For sure we don't want to miss this. And would flee to the Savior, but they didn't. Oh, if he gave them 1 year, he'd give them another. No. And I have likely said it in times myself, but let me say something tonight, just for understanding our praying. We don't thank the Lord for extending the day of grace. He's never done it. More than that, he's never going to do it. God does not extend anything. You know what God does? If he wants to withhold judgment, he'll do it. If he wants to extend your time, he will do it. Because the Bible says, why diest thou before thy time? You can go before your time. Don't let anybody tell you that. You can go before your time. But God doesn't extend any day of grace. Come up short. Now he says to these people, there's a man that raises a question. Here's what he says. You're going to give the man the credit for what he said. He called him Lord. No man calleth him Lord but by the Spirit. I'd love to think that this man entered into the truth of what the multitude did. And he said, Lord, are there few that be saved? Could this just be me? And he said, not unto the man, he said unto them, you strive to enter into the straight gate. For many, I say, if you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and he began to stand without, and to cry, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Has it really happened? Has the door really closed? It has. Why? It was their last opportunity and they didn't realize it. Oh, could we recall those gospel meetings? Could we recall series? As minds and faces come into memory so quickly. People that sat in the very direction and location of the hall that you're sitting in tonight. And you were sure they were going to get it. They were so close, you're waiting for the phone to ring. You know how it would ring? Sometimes after a meeting at night, you're having a cup of tea, the phone would ring, or the next day. As so often it does, and your heart literally lifts with joy, as someone on the other end, maybe through their tears, says, I got saved. Christ is my Savior. I will never be in hell. That's a wonderful thing. But you know, the tragic side of it is this. Those that miss it. Those that miss it. Said the Lord Jesus, if you die in your sins,
Where I am, he said, you cannot come. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This was a lost opportunity for these people. Never would they realize that again. Oh, could they just bring back those moments, bring back that meeting, bring back that scene, could they just put it together again? What's going to happen? A man by the name of Esau says he wept bitterly. Bitterly as he tried to put back together a scene and undo something that he had done. A fatal choice that he had made. Oh, could he just call it back and undo it? But heaven was looking down. Just as in this gospel meeting tonight, friend. The expression in your face tells me nothing. But what's in your heart tells you on everything. Well, the choice is very clear. You could take God at his word of what he says he has done in Calvary and come up with more than any man could ever win. Christ is your Savior. What an opportunity. Or you can leave the alternative for God to take you at your word. Because one or the other. You either take God at his word or he takes you at your word. If you're not saved tonight, you know what your word is? It's not true. If not saved, your language is 1 John chapter 5, calling God a liar. The words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew's gospel, by thy words, thou shalt be condemned, and by thy words, thou shalt be justified. So God leaves everything up to you tonight. Whatever you do with his son, what will your answer be? The call comes low and clear, and tenderly he bids. Your burden lay at his feet. What will your answer be? I wonder tonight if I'm speaking to someone. Maybe you came into this gospel meeting as careless as time could make you. There's been a wake-up call. And you've suddenly realized something you've never realized before. This is an opportunity that's slipping through my fingers as fast as that clock races around this hour. I may never sit here again. Listen, friend. If we could slide the lid off of hell and let some people speak to you what they wouldn't give to change places for one more hour in a gospel meeting, wish they could do what you could do tonight. But the die is a good friend of mine that got saved, dear Bill, remember sitting in his house, sitting in his office when he was a chartered accountant. Well, he said to me, he said, Murray, he says, it would settle it for me if you could just tell me where my father is. Because I want to go where my father went. He says, I grew up without a father. Bill's a lovely man, he still is. Very caring man. But he was, to his boys, what he missed in life. He didn't have a father. His father died. What I'm hearing, I don't think my father was saved. And what that Bible says, I don't know where my father is. I want to be with my father. All I can say to him was, Bill, I don't know what happened in the last moments of your father's life. Suppose that he did get saved and he's in heaven. And you don't get saved. And your sins can go to hell only to discover he's not there. I said, this much I can tell you. If we could speak to your father just now and say, what advice do you have for your boy, Bill? What advice do you have for your boy, Bill? You know what he would say? My son, go in for God's salvation. My friend in the meeting tonight, you go for it. You go for it. Whatever you do, don't show up late and come up short when it comes to this.